And God forgave him. He had a heart after God's own heart. So we look at him and we look at others. But sometimes God gives us people examples in the Word of God, and we learn from their mistakes. And I guess in my own life, if I try to analyze what I've learned most from, other than God's Word, of course, but looking at people, you probably learn more observing the mistakes others made and try not to make them. Why is that possible? Because a lot of us make more mistakes than there are people that doing things just right. It's a sad thing to say, but that be true. And God has given us in this precious word a king. His name was Saul. We're going to look at the life of Saul. We're going to learn from him. And that one thing we'd like to do, every one of us, we may have started in different manners. Maybe you were old, maybe you were young when you got saved, and then along a journey of life, even if you were saved, you made mistakes, you made blunders, but you asked forgiveness, and God forgives. But one thing's common to every one of us. We sure would like and pray that we will end well. People start in different manners. Some start with a bang, and the Bible says that we have a lot of zeal, but zeal without knowledge, God says, will do you more harm than good. So God gives us zeal, but he gives us knowledge how to use that zeal. Because if we use the zeal that we have and we use it in the wrong manner, we'll do more hurt than we do good. And that's exactly what happened to King Saul. He had zeal, but it was after his own heart. And let's look at the affairs now that was going on in Israel. Samuel was the one that God had put in charge of the spiritual manner in Israel in those days. And he was leading the people. He was following God. God spoke to him, and he would lead the people according to God's order. But they didn't like that. The people of Israel looked all around, and every other nation had a king. We want a king. Samuel, give us a king. So, of course, Samuel's not going to do anything unless God directs him to do it. And finally, after their pleading, God says, okay, and he's already said in his word that I'll give you the desires of your heart. He said, boy, that sounds good. That sounds too good to me, because the heart of man is wicked, desperately wicked. We don't even know our hearts. Why would I want God to give me the desires of my heart when my heart may not be in tune with his heart? And God was telling them, let me lead the people. And they said, no, we want a king. And he told Samuel, you tell him this manner. He's going to bring hardships on your family. And they said, we don't care. We want to be like others. Isn't that the problem today in America and in the world? People want to be like others rather than being what God wants us to be. But God will give us the desires of your heart. So God says, okay, we're going to have a king. If you want it, you're going to see how bad it really is. So go ahead and have a desire that won't meet God's expectations, and it won't end up well. And remember, we want to not have a ruined life, and that's what Saul had. The title of the message this morning is Avoid a Ruined Life. It affects Saul, it affects his children, it affects the nation. That's exactly what's going to happen, because they wanted their way rather than God's way, and there was ruination beginning to develop. But nonetheless, God's in charge. And we see in chapter 9 and 10 that God's going to choose who they're going to have as the king. And God's going to let them see that the warning he'll give them is in full effect, and it would bring ruination to the nation of Israel because they were having a man lead them rather than God. But nonetheless, Samuel still lived a life perfect before God, and he's still living, having directions from God, and he's telling the king, this is what God wants. So let's begin, see how God develops the story here with a king. He's going to choose someone, and we're going to read the account in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Let's look at Saul's constructive start. There's a starting place. Now, he is on the journey right now when all this begins. He's out in the fields looking for his father's donkeys. And he's not having any success. And after he had looked many, many days, his servant said, well, let's try the man of God. Samuel's the man of God. He probably could help you. never had the courage to Saul at the time, but let's ask God. How many of us go through life doing things your own way, whether it's finding that which is lost or doing anything, we do it our way, and finally, oh, God could help. So we humble ourselves and we ask God. So Samuel enters into the picture, and now in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9, let's look at Saul's constructive start. Verse 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Betharoth, the son of Aphiah, a Benjaminite, mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. But God had chose him. And then a lot of details go in that God told Saul exactly after Samuel interceded to God in his behalf. And Samuel told him exactly what's going to happen. Because God looks at today, tomorrow, and the event of every one of us and knows the people you're going to meet, the things you're going to encounter. He has it all in his hands, every one of us. He told Saul that he would be going and there would be this group of men that was coming down the hill and what every one of them would be carrying and what they would say to him. Isn't that amazing that God knows everything, exactly when they were going to meet and everything. So it was going to be announced to the people of Israel who God had chosen. So Samuel calls the nation together and the leaders of the nation and particularly the tribe of Kish and gets them all together and they're going to introduce Saul. Saul, where you at? We can't find him. He'd been chosen by God. He'd already prophesied. God says he'll give him a new heart. And a changed heart. But remember what the scripture says about that? God gives a heart, but we must receive. God offers salvation, and he died for salvation. Now, of course, this is before Calvary. But when God offers something and God wants to change your heart, we must receive. Too many have received him. So God offers salvation, and a lot of people receive it for the wrong reason, or they're not really true about it. So now he had been chosen, and he knew he had been chosen. The anointing was going to take place, and he was hiding himself among the stuff. Didn't seem too encouraged about it, did he? So even though he had a constructive start, there was something about Saul that was completely different. This changed heart had not been received from him. But I want to look next at the conduct. Now his conduct was one of self-gratification. You can tell a lot about a person's conduct. If they live a life to please God, he'd been chosen by God, he'd been anointed by God, and God had even changed his heart, but he hadn't received that change yet because he still had the conduct of self-gratification. None of us here are perfect. And as we look at Saul's life, we can learn his mistakes. And if we're really interested, it will help us avoid our own mistakes of likeness that he committed. Because so many times we have a conduct of self-gratification. Let's look what the scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter 13. We see something about him and we're looking at 1 Samuel 13. And we're going to look at verses 12, 13 and verses 12. Because this conduct that he had was not what was expected from God. He wanted to go his own way and do his own thing. And Samuel had given him some orders now. And those orders were, you go and you spend a certain amount of time and you wait on me because I'm the one that's been chosen by God to do the offering. In chapter 13, verses 12 through 14, Saul doing the explaining of what he had done wrong. Let's read verse 11. And Samuel said, "What hath thou done?" Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou cameth not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore," said I, self-gratification, don't you see, "the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." How many times has the Lord given instructions to you and to me and many leaders, and this is what I want? We know clearly what he wants. But because our conduct many times is one of self-gratification, well, it would be better if I would do. Our patience is thin. We want to go our way. God has a certain order. The order was that God spoke to Samuel, and spiritual matters, that is, and Samuel was going to entreat Saul and tell him what God wanted. And God has established a church, and God has established certain things, and God has established a family. And the family, remember, God holds the father in charge of the family. And a lot of people don't want to go that way, and children don't want to go that way, but the end thereof will be suffering and pain and agony. Same as in the church, God has an order. And God expects that. And it was really displeasing to God that Samuel had spoken to Saul, and Saul knew exactly what to do, but he said, "I wanted to do it." Self-gratification. That was his conduct. Let's look also, and we won't have to read all this, but now we see that David, a little bit later on, is entered into the picture. Because God's already told Saul, "I'm going to find the man. I've already found him. I'm going to anoint this person. And I'm going to use him in place of you." Well, Saul's continual strife and loss of spiritual things was on the decline. Every day he was worse and worse off. His continual strife. Now, his conduct was one of self-gratification, but now his strife and his ability within himself to try to please himself. So it was a continual matter, continually getting worse and worse. That's what happens when you start disobeying God in a little thing. It wasn't a little thing, but he thought it was. It'll get worse, and it's a continued strife. Let's look at the text now, because David enters in the picture. God has chosen him, and God's going to use him in a mighty way. Remember at the battlefield that day where David goes out to take his brothers that were in the battle. Actually, they were in array. 40 days had passed. Goliath and his Philistines are on this side of the mountain, and Saul and his army is on that side, and they're daring each other. And Goliath is cursing them in the name of his God, and they're doing nothing about it. Now, God's going to do something about it. He's going to send little ruddy David over there. David takes some sandwiches to his brother. When David gets there, remember, he said, "Is there not a cause? I can't stand here and hear that giant of a Goliath bringing reproach on God, the name of God, and his people. I'll go fight the giant." And of course, Saul was more than happy to let him do that. So he offered his armor. Remember, Saul is a head and shoulder taller than anybody else. So David tries this armor on. And you can imagine little David in a giant, so-called. He said, "I haven't tried it. I'm just going in the name of the Lord." So he smote the giant. And now this self-gratification conduct he had, the continual strife, now he's jealous. every day of his life, he's more jealous. Let's read the account in first in the chapter 18, verse 9, 10, and 11. Because every day, Saul is getting worse and worse. And now this evil spirit has come upon him. In verses 9, 10, 11, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. He's jealous. That's what happens when you get away from God. Your conduct is self-gratifying. And on a continual basis, the strife and the lack of spiritual things that matter, it mattered more to him about prestige and fame. What can I do? It already displayed the fact that he doesn't want God in charge. I don't want Samuel telling me what God wants. I want to do it myself. And now God has sent him an evil spirit. And the verse says, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Stop and think about that. Saul had gone so far away from God and the things of God that he wanted his own way, self-gratification. His conduct was like that, that now God actually sent an evil spirit upon him. Will God do that? Not only would he, but he did, because he's going to teach the nation of Israel that you don't disobey my will and get by. You're going to reap what you sow. Same for America, same for your house, same for my house, same for the church, that we must obey God. God has a plan. And when we let our own interests come into that plan rather than God's interest, things are going to be, and the end's going to be far worse than the beginning. Remember, he had a constructive start with his conduct. And now his continual strife was getting worse and worse. Now we're going to see in the next verse, verse 11, and Saul, or verse 10, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of his house. Say, oh, he's right with God again. No, he's prophesying within his own self. He's already took that my conduct will be of self-gratification. You prophesy doesn't always mean it's from God. He's prophesying in his own house. Why? Because the evil spirit is upon him and he has disobeyed the things of God. And David played with his hand as at other times there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And the scripture tells us that David was not only a man after God's own heart, but every time Saul would attack him or try to kill him, the Bible says three times, and David behaved himself wisely. That's the difference between somebody that wants to serve God or somebody that wants to serve their own self-gratitude. See, Saul's jealous of David. He's trying to kill David. And now David just let God handle it. That's the mark of a person that is sold out to God. Let God handle it. Would David have been right in his own eyes to have retaliated against Saul? Never. Because God is doing the choosing. God chose Saul. He disobeyed. He has disallowed the things of God in his own life, and God's finished with him. But yet he's still the king. And you might ask the question, why would God allow a king? He's already said, I'm going to replace him. He could have replaced him with David that day. But God has a method. God has a plan. And God will have that plan in action. And the people's disobedience had not fully come to the surface yet, and God has a plan. And I can't question God's plan, and you don't need to either. God has a plan. God has a way. God has a will. And my way is supposed to line up with God's way. My will is supposed to conform to his will. And if it don't, the end's going to be much worse than beginning. We're going to skip down because we don't have time to deal with a lot of the facts of Saul's life. Except he was jealous of David. And now David was playing every time that Saul needed him. Look at the last verse there of chapter 19. Chapter 19 and the last verse. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they said, is Saul also among his prophets? The end of Saul was going to be much worse than the beginning, because his choices swallowed up his life. Wouldn't it be awful that we start out with God, and we start out with the intent of rearing their family in the house of God, doing the right with things of God. Somehow self-gratification comes in, our conduct is displeasing, and sometimes we go astray and want our way rather than God's way. But let's turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles, chapter 10 and verse 13, and see that the choices Saul made swallowed up his life. God could have used him. God had said to him one time, remember, if you had obeyed me, if you had not had your conduct of self-gratification, if you listened to my voice, if you had not constantly had strife in your heart, if you had asked forgiveness, I would have continued your kingdom forever. Your children would be sitting on their throne. Their children and their grandchildren would be sitting on the throne. But because you made those choices, your life is swallowed up in death. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13. Don't we realize that our choices affects our children, our grandchildren, and to the fourth generation? Look at verse 13. 1 Chronicles 10, 13. So Saul died for his transgressions, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. He had gotten so far from God that he wanted to hear, the Philistines are going to attack us. There's many more times of them than there are of God, we need you. God turned a deaf ear. He'd already said, I won't hear your prayer. So he goes and asks his servants, find a woman with a familiar spirit, one that can communicate with the dead. I want to communicate with Samuel, although he's dead. So he goes and has a woman with a familiar spirit from Endor and asks her and communicates. Did God allow that? He sure did. But look what happened. The Bible says he died for the transgression. The Philistines came and they smote an arrow and it went in his heart. Didn't quite kill him. So he wanted his servant to finish the job because he was in pain. He knew he was going to die. The servant wouldn't touch God's anointed, although he had disobeyed God. So he fell on his own sword and he died. Look at the next verse. And inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David. Look what God did. God had him slain by the enemy. He ended up taking his own life. Because of his transgressions, because of the choices he made that he would not avow to serve God. Why? Because he had this desire, his conduct, self-gratification. So easy to happen, so awful to happen, cost him his own life. And also it got so bad that he was even inquiring of the devil and of the familiar spirits of Satan. And then the Bible says in verse 14, he slew him because he inquired not of the Lord. All he had to do was repent. But not one time. He did say, I made a mistake. But he never said, God, forgive me. For all the times he tried to kill David. For all the times he would not even listen to Samuel. Wanted to do it his way. We say, so far, his choices swallowed up his life. That's not all. The Bible says his children were slain. And their lives were shattered. Look at the next verse in chapter 10, verse 1. Let's go back to verse 1. See, it's one thing you say, well, it's my own life. I'll live it like I please. It won't hurt anybody but me. Oh, yeah? His children were slain. Let's read the account. Verse 1, chapter 10, 1 Chronicles. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard after Saul and after his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Machislah, the sons of Saul. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him. And he was wounded of the archers. Then said Saul to the armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. So Saul took a sword and fell upon him. The importance of ending well. We start a life when Jesus saves us. And we say, well, God gives us a family, he gives us a church, he gives us all these blessings. He gave us assignments. And surely we'll serve him. He chose us to serve him in whatever capacity he has given us. And Saul is a person that demonstrates to us the pitfalls, the agony, the defeat that will come anyone's way that has the conduct of self-gratification, like a bull in a china shop. Don't care what God wants. I'm going to do it the way I want. This is what I think. This is what I want. No sweetness, just harshness. Samuel, just leave me alone. And remember when God told him, go out and kill all the nation because they were going to grow up despite God. And he wouldn't listen to God. He never listened to God. And the end thereof was it destroyed him. It not only took his own life, but it swallowed up his children in defeat. And God has given us this illustration in his word. And this message today, and I'm not saying any of us are on that road, but it's a warning that we should not be on that road. Because God has a way, he has a will, he has a purpose in every one of us. And it's he that's in charge. Remember the beginning, he even told Saul what's going to happen in the next few days. Not only that, he knew what's going to happen in all their life. Why don't we just say, Lord, it's your way. If every one of us would just make a commitment, I want the end of my life to be well. Don't know how long we'll be here, but surely we would not want to bring reproach on God before we get out of this world, much less on their children and their children's children. God help us to be more like him and not have a heart like Saul had. God changed his heart, but the problem was he wouldn't receive the change. He wanted his way. And America wants their way. And a lot of people want their way. But we've already been shown in God's word, the end thereof will be swallowed up in death. Be swallowed up in the loss of victory in the things of God. Would you stand, Brother Randy, come sing a song of invitation. The importance of ending well. Wouldn't it be good if we stand before the Lord and say, hear him say, you've done well, a faithful child. Come enter into the joy of the Lord. We have that responsibility to make sure it happens. God wants it to happen. He's on their side. But we cannot let the conduct of self-gratification and the continual strife that people have against God and the things of God and the harshness. God is the Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God's Spirit is a spirit of love, a spirit of humility, a spirit of thankfulness. No, this is what I want. This is the way I'm going. Don't care who likes it. No, God don't like it. And that's all that matters, what God likes. Altar's open. You have people in your family. I have people in my family, no doubt, that aren't saved. I want them to be saved. And they're looking at me, and they're looking at you. And do they want to be like you? Would they like to pattern their life after your life? Boy, help us, Lord, to live that kind of life where my children, grandchildren, and other people would say, I want to be like Christ, but I want to be, I can't see the Lord all the time, but I want to be like that individual. God, help us to have the humility like David did, like Samuel did, not like Saul did. Brother Randy.